Well, Ricky, I'm back again. I got a couple of things to add and finish up about 20 minutes, and then I think we'll have 180 minutes on this here newfangled recorder that you sent me. Anyway, I got a question to ask you. I wanted to know if you remember your dad and mother, maybe both, buying a piece of land from me in Marlboro that was called the Cooper Cave Lot. This was a small parcel of land, I would guess 20 acres, maybe more or less, up in about a mile and a half east of Marlboro on 101, across from the old Higgins farm. I think it's now farmed by a fellow by the name of Carl Weber. And he taps maple trees around Marlboro and sells maple syrup there in the old Higgins house. But this was across the field, across the highway, across the field, and across Robbins Brook, and up into that gully between Cooper Hill and the hill on the other side. I don't know the name of the other one, but I had a piece of land that was about, as I say, might have been 15, 20 acres, maybe more, that Grandpa willed to me. Each one of us, Frank, Anna, Margaret, and I each got a piece of land when Grandpa Wiswell died. Frank had one up by the old powerhouse. Anna had one. Your mother had one up at Howe Reservoir. She sold hers. Frank sold his. I sold the Cooper Cave lot to your dad. And I was wondering, what in the heck happened to that? Did he resell that? Do you have any recollection of him ever owning that? Or do one of you boys still own it? Well, anyway, there was a cave on there, much like the Bachelor Cave up in Roxbury, where a guy by the name of Cooper hid out for quite some time. And I remember going up there with Skeet Collins, and we crawled down through some slabs of granite rock and crawled through an opening. It was lucky we were just younger, slimmer kids, or we wouldn't have got in there. But once we got in there, it was a big, huge pyramidal or cone-shaped thing, and you could see light at the top. And I remember we stayed in there that day for a couple hours, built a fire, had a nice little chimney out the top where you can see the light coming in, and we sat in there. But every time I think about that, I get claustrophobia. I just can't stand tight places anymore, and I can't imagine me wiggling into that thing when I was a teenager with Skeet Collins. But Frank Knight, who was a barber and postmaster in Marlboro for some time, bought some wood from me, and I told him, "You're on your own, Frank. If you want some of that wood, why, go to it." But I said that is a square-like lot, and it's an old-time deed that says, starting from the southwest corner, so many rods to a stake and stones, then so-and-so, so many rods to another stake and stones, and then on the third side, another to so many rods to another stake and stones, and then back to the beginning. And I never found any of those stake and stones. And Frank Knight, Dooley, as we called him, cut some wood on there, and after he got through, he sent me the money, or I stopped in to see him, and he paid me off in quarters or half dollars or some damn thing. And he says he wasn't sure where he got the wood from, and he said it might have even been on Frost property, which was to the west of our property, or off to one side anyway. But the property ran, so they told me before I sold it to your dad, ran up to the Stone Pond Road, and I don't believe that because it wasn't that big a lot, and they made me pay extra taxes and everything because it had frontage on the road up there, and I feel fairly certain that it never did go that far, that direction to the south. But anyway, I was wondering if your dad ever sold that to somebody else, or whether they kept it in the family, or if you or Peter or any of you know what happened to that lot. I'm not particularly interested, but I just wondered because I, being out here in Colorado, I got sick of paying the taxes, which weren't much until they raised them three or four times and told me it was a bigger lot than I thought it was, and it was had frontage on the Stone Pond Road and all this stuff. And I just got sick of paying taxes, and I finally sold it to your dad. And another thing, after I left and came to Colorado, when Frank and I got out of the service, we had exemptions from tax, and we settled up some of Mother's affairs, and Frank took one piece of property that was up off of the old Chesham Road, and I took the big Lawrence lot in Roxbury because I thought I was tax exempt, but they found out that I didn't live in New Hampshire anymore, and they started charging me taxes on that up there in Roxbury, and we got sick of paying that, and the girls wanted it sold. Your mother and Aunt Margaret wanted their share of the money out of it, and Frank and I couldn't swing it to buy it, and so we sold it. And oh, back at that time, Frank thought he was one put it up for sale, and he thought probably that if he put the price high enough, it wouldn't sell, and we'd have to keep it, and that's what we should have done anyway. Well, we got $40,000 out of it and split it four ways. And I was told afterwards by the Beauregard brothers, who are hot in lumbering and stuff like that, that we probably could have made that much off the lumber on it, because it was probably as much as 50, maybe even 60 years into regrowth. Me and Dad had been up there a number of years and cut wood off to heat the house down in Marlboro, and for a number of years, and there was a lot of good timber on there, oak and maple and softwood, pine, hemlock, spruce, and so we probably should have kept it, but that was the lot known as the Lawrence lot. That I'll always go up and look around up there, seeing what I can find every time I come back to New Hampshire. But I was just wondering if you knew your dad didn't own that piece of property called the Cooper Hill lot, or the Cooper Cave lot, and what happened to it. Another thing, I guess I'm just doing whatever you'd call them. Let me see. Let me stop a minute.